This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Okay, how in the world did you meet these guys? Because you didn't go to school with them or anything.
No, but I went to college with a girl who went to high school with Dave.
Okay, here we go.
And I was in New York, and then Dave called her up because they were trying to cast it when they were first doing it, and she called her up. He called her up and said, like, "Hey, do you know anybody who has like a crazy voice?" She's like, "Hey, call my friend Dana. He's got a weird voice." And I'm like, "Yeah, thanks a lot, lady." But then, you know, I forgave her after the fourth season, begrudgingly.
And when you go in and they say we want you to play a shake.
Oh, well, yeah, well, then, like, yeah.
Of it and,
well, I didn't see a picture, but he called me. He was like, I was like, "All right, what's a character?" He goes, "Well, here's the thing. Like, it's a superhero," and there was somebody else who they were kind of, the closest one they were thinking of was, like, it was somebody who was kind of doing, like, Christopher Walken-y, because most of the people they were auditioning, they heard a superhero, and so everybody's being, like, a superhero, you know, they were like, "Hey, we gotta be super." That was not what they wanted. And then he's like, "Well," I said, "Well, what's the character?" He goes, "Well, he's loud and obnoxious and whiny." I was like, "Perfect. I was just born to play this part."
Yeah.
I got it. Yeah, then like, so then we auditioned over the thing, over the, like, over his voicemail. He's like, "Yeah, you could probably call back about, I mean, I'll be out of the office at 7. Just like call and leave it on the voicemail thing." Like, all right. Yeah. But I did it, and then he plays, he's like, "Yeah, that was really good. I accidentally erased it, and I got to play it for Mike Lazo again. Could you do it again?" I'm like, "Oh, all right." But still, you know, I didn't know what it was going to be. I'm like, "What is it?" He's like, "Well, they're like cups, and you're a milkshake." Like. Yeah, I'm like, "Oh, all right, well, that'll work. I've been far worse, that's for sure."
Did you see the artist renditions of it before?
No. When we first did it, the first time I met them was I was in Las Vegas doing a burlesque show. And, well, I was. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, but like, I was there doing a burlesque show, but I was in Vegas. So they were like, "Oh, well, we could come out and see you." "Oh, you're in Vegas? Yeah, we could fly out and record." It was like 2 minutes before we went on. They're like, "Oh, and here's what he looks like." I'm like, "Oh, all right. Well, thanks for that. I'm not going to change anything I was going to do, but yeah, but it was good."
Well,
and then
it says in the press notes that you developed the character differently in a different direction than they originally had. I mean,
well,
how did you change him?
That's a good question. They never told me what they originally had. I think I just blew in there and like, "Oh, this is what I'm going to do." I'm like, "Yeah, okay, all right. Oh, so you're going for, instead of jerk, you're going for super jerk."
Okay.
Like, yes. Yeah, I think the thing they were going for before that was like the guy they had said they had like closest in their mind was somebody doing something Christopher Walken-y. It was like, "Oh, I can be much far more obnoxious and stupefying than that."
So he does have sort of scary eyes.
Only at times.
He changed him, and he has personality. A little him.
Yeah,
that's,
I think.
You looked at that and went,
"What can I do?"
But when you actually saw the pilot for the first time, did you think, "Okay, it was a one-shot thing"? It was like, whatever. Or did you actually think that it was actually going to be a long-term?
No, not at all. Not at all. Well, they were like, they called me and they said, "Okay," it was like, whatever it was, 2000 or something. And it was like, you got a frantic call, like, "They're going to air it tonight at about 4 o'clock in the morning because we have to air it because we made it in this year and it has to air for tax purposes. But it's not really finished." And, you know, it's like, so like, and I'm on the phone with my friend. And he's talking, I'm like, "Okay, it's coming on. It's coming on right now. Shh, be quiet." Like, starts, I watch, and then, like, within, it's only 11 minutes long in the first place, right? Like, within, like, the first 2 minutes, then all of a sudden there's just a black screen for a little while. Then there's, like, a pencil test, you know, then there's just somebody's hand, like, something like this will be here. I'm like, wow. My friend wasn't watching it, so I'm, he's like, because he's on the phone, he's like, well, I'm like, "I think I feel sick." Oh, my God. But it was neat to see, like, you know, your voice on a That was a cartoon. And like, so I'm like, then all of a sudden everything made sense because I didn't have the script before. Like, we recorded it, and I didn't really remember it because it had been at that point, you know, a year or something. I was like, oh, that's where they... Oh, they're at a mall? Oh, and he's rolling... Oh, well, this makes a lot more sense now. I wish you guys would have told me that when we did it in the first place. I would have been much different, though.
Do you record with the other guys in the same room, or do you never get to see them?
No.
So it's always by yourself?
Yeah, like, because they're all in Atlanta.
Oh.
But I was like, you know, we do it in New York, they do... But they would, like, do me... Because we, like, improvise... Mm. Not... 100%, not probably even 50%, but most of the, like a lot of times now, cause, or even for a while, because we've been doing it so long, it'd be like, you know, just scream at me what here and telling some, you know, you gotta get him out of the house. Or like I'll say it one time, but then sort of say it so it fits my mouth a little better.
Did you work on the scripts at all, or the ideas, or what
no.
your character's gonna do?
No. Well, you know, I like to feel I guide them mentally before they write it. And I walk out a lot. I storm out a lot when I'm upset with lines. Like Dave. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we do. Like, they'll, you know, they'll have, because they just do it line by line. You know, it'll be like, get out of the house. Okay, that was great. Can we have one more? Get out of the house. Will you get out of the freaking house already? Hey, you, jerk balls, get out of here. Like, okay, we got one. Let's go to the next. Well, it's sort of like, they always, like, sort of end up evolving because we do them, like, you know, at least five times. Sometimes do it a bunch, but. By the last one is always much further away from the...
Were you freer to ad-lib in the movie version than the TV version?
No. No, they're really good with me. You know, they kind of let me do whatever I want.
They don't know. You feel like you could throw in more four-letter words or anything like that doing the movie?
Well, I've noticed... Yes. Well, that's good. I know we had the screening last night, and I noticed, like, the first time... I can't remember who it was. I think, like, Frylock said... You know, shit or fuck or something, and like from the crowd was like, whoa, like oh, we're finally hearing the one of the few words we never heard them say.
Did you know you were actually making a movie though? Because like it was very like it got announced in the trades like that they were making a movie, and then all of a sudden it's being released in 2 months.
So like, oh yeah. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just gonna say like. When did the process start for like making the movie? What did they tell you?
Well,
was going to be done?
They definitely told me they were making a movie. Well, and Dave and Matt for a while, like they really wanted to make a movie, so they were like just for a long. We went to Comic-Con a couple, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, and it was the first time I went. I went with Matt, and we had a panel discussion, you know, and there was like probably 1,000 people in the room, and Matt was like, okay. Just before we go on, I want you to say that we're making a movie and talk about it and how great it's going to be. Like, what? He's like, if we keep talking about it, they'll kind of have to make us make it. They'll have to let us do it. So, like, all right.
What was your experience like at Comic-Con, actually?
I love it.
Was that your first time?
Well, yeah. Like, I've gone, like, I think I've gone 3 years now. But the first time, I didn't. I'd been to, like, you know, a Star Trek convention and in Las Vegas and, like, you know, not really big stuff like that. But that was amazing. And then, like, you know, walking up on stage and everybody's, like, they're screaming, like, hey, you look just like Master Shake. I'm like, thanks a lot, a-hole. What the hell's that supposed to mean? You're real savvy, aren't you?
Well, Master Shake, he's got this id character. He does what he wants to do no matter what, whatever comes into his head. Do you wish you could be do that?
Or I kind of get it out and through there, which is why my wife always reminds me. She's like, you're really like that. I know it, because you have it in you. I'm like, hey, I'm playing a part, a role. She's like, no, you yelled at me like that last night.
What I don't get about the ad-libbing is if you're somewhere else recording, how do you rip off them and ad-lib?
Well, I think I usually go first.
Oh, okay.
And then, the thing is, like, Carrie's line, like, Frylock, because, you know, he always has, like, he's like the parent, you know, his line. He's always like, passing along the actual information. Like, no, we have to get the Romulux blackberries back to the store.
He's the only one who knows what's
Yeah, right. Like, at this point, I think you could just replay all the lines from all the other ones. He wouldn't even have to come in and record anymore. Because it's always like, shut the hell up. Will you guys stop it? I told you before, we're going. You know. But I think I usually do mine, and then Dave will do his, who does Meatwad and Carl. Or he'll go, because he'll say, like, yeah, say something like this, but just make sure you end with, but I'm not going. Because we already have, you are going. I'm like, oh, okay. Usually it's after I did a brilliant improvised line that is unusable because they've locked me in. Jerks.
The show has gotten stranger over the years. They've kind of moved away from the detective actually solving crime.
Oh, you mean by the second episode you're speaking of? Okay.
Yeah. That's right. Now, yeah. The episodes are just, you know, the three watching TV or something.
Yeah, right.
Which is, do you like that, or would you rather they actually had a little bit more of the original
plots?
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I like all of them. Sometimes what I really enjoy about, I guess I do, because, or, wait a minute, I'm confusing myself. Stop breathing, you're throwing me off. Damn it, man. No, I'm kidding.
Back off, I'm sorry.
I like the pen, though. I like red. No, that's for you. But I think what I like about the movie is that it is like a plot in a mostly way, you know. But there's stuff following. Oh yeah, they're trying to find this thing. They're trying to get that piece, which is nice. I like being able to follow something.
It was nice to just have that length, basically, because I noticed some episodes it's clearly.
Oh yeah.
It's 9 minutes and 30 seconds in. Like, oh shit. And then
We need to have an ending. Yeah. How about all their heads explode? Yeah. That's how we can get out of this. Perfect. Genius. Prince. Let's go. Yeah. I like it. It's weird. Like when we record it, I don't ever read them before because I'll get there and read it. I won't even read it. You know, I'll get there. The script is there, and it's like, here's the line.
Yeah.
So I sort of am disconnected with what's actually going on, which is probably why it's always just a jerk instead of will you pay attention to what we're talking about? I don't have to. It's very actor studio.
So was this the first voice you did? And I've noticed on IMDb, you have a whole lot of voice credits. So did this start it? Or
yes.
Did it start
yes.
The whole thing for you?
Absolutely. Yeah, this was the first thing I did. Then I did Squidbillies for a little while, or I still do that I played Granny on that. And then, it was all just you know what it's like. Like, you meet somebody, and then they're like, oh, you could do this thing for us. But it's fun.
What is Dante's Inferno?
I think they're starting to show it in festivals. It's by Paul Zaloom, wrote it, who used to do Beakman's World, and it's really neat. It's a retelling of Dante's Inferno, but through puppets. But the puppets they're not like these kind of puppets or marionettes. They're like flat drawings, but it's all like rods. You know, it's like these real, and they have this artist whose name escapes me at the moment wrote a book that was his retelling of Dante's Inferno, in New York City. That's what hell is. But it's it'll be it's cut out, you know, like this, but they'll rub their eyes and it's like rods and, you know, he'll go It's really neat, though. It's amazing, because it's three-dimensional, but it's all two-dimensional artwork. And they made it. It's just, it's really, there's theatrical lighting and, I guess as you would have in a movie, I'm told.
What's your voice?
I play Strom Thurmond in one part. There's a parade of people who shouldn't have. They're they're ironic punishments, you know. So Strom Thurmond is dressed like Aunt Jemima in a parade, and he's get me out of this damn costume. I hate this. I do that, and then the bigger part I do, I play Ulysses, who's sort of a used car salesman / Borscht Belt comedian telling the tale of, you know, they went and pillaged all these lands, but they were so greedy that their ship sunk. But it's like told through those, what do you call them, those like Thai shadow puppets, but like they're doing the show. He's like, yeah, this is great. And I'm like, oh, that was wonderful. What do you have? You seem like you really love to do this. He's like, yeah, I gotta do this 1,000 freaking times a day for the rest of eternity. I hate it.
What did you think when they told you this was going to be made into a movie, because all of the other ones you did on TV were so short? Could you imagine it opening up to a film?
I was certainly curious, I don't mind telling you. I was like, oh, really? I was excited about it, but I was kind of thinking like, well, what are they going to do? You know, I mean, I knew they could do something. I didn't know, was it going to be short, you know, like sort of little things. And I think the first one they kind of did, the first version of it, really was like more like an episode, but over 80 minutes or whatever. And then I think they sort of watched it and had some of it like quite finished and everything. And then Mike Lazo, you know, the head of Adult Swim, he was like, man, I thought a movie's supposed to be epic. This doesn't seem too epic to me. Sounds to me like you got to get more epic in there. So they're like, all right. Then they sort of came up with more like, oh, God, a big journey and, you know.
So wait, you did this twice? You did for two movies?
No. I did 2 years ago or something, we recorded sort of the whole movie in, you know, 4 days or whatever. And then they sort of pieced it all together. We didn't re-record the whole thing. A lot of the stuff is sort of still there, but we did a couple rereads that sort of just like switched the direct, gave it a more pointed direction of which way it was going. And then all the stuff, they took a bunch of stuff out, but then they ended up making it into the only 30-minute episode of Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
So
yes.
Really were deleted.
Yeah. Later, yeah. Like, you know, not the in the studio thing, like, but you know, all the because there was like hypno rims on Carl's car, and the Moonanites were like supposed to be doing something crazy. But they sort of like, you know, like, yeah, this is just gumming up the work. Let's just go all out for the big story, I think. But yeah, I think I was curious to see what it was going to be. But then what the big thing was when they said, well, we're going to show, even at the beginning they said, you know, we're going to show like where they come from. And I was like, oh, okay, well, that's movie worthy. Like, that's good. Like,
it's an origin story.
Yeah. And all the...
What did you think of the dancing food at the beginning?
I love it. I love it. I love that stuff. I think it's great.
Could you talk about your work on Venture Brothers and how that's got involved with that? Are you going to do more?
Yeah, I think while they're doing like season 3 now, according to Doc Hammer, they're going to have the alchemist who I play, which also I got that part because another complimentary thing is like, he called me up and was like, Dana, I wrote this role for you. I want you to do it. I'm like, that's great. You know, what kind of things? Like, I just want you to talk in your regular voice. I don't want you to put a thing on or anything. I'm like, okay, great. What's the character? The subtly gay alchemist. Thanks a lot, Doc. Thank you. I'm writing a part for you called The Completely A-Hole Doc Hammer. And you're perfect for it.
Are most of the characters on Venture Brothers like subtly gay?
Yes, they go to subtly to fully blown completely gay.
I got
1 minute, Scott.
When you are recording, you're not with the other guys. Do you picture the meatball and the fries that you're talking to, or do you picture that you're talking to the guys?
Some of them, like...
What's in your head when you're talking to them?
Carrie, I always picture Frylock.
Okay.
But Meewan and Carl, I think I always do picture Dave. Just because I've...
Boy, that's a mess, then.
I've met him a lot. Well, like, I've met Carrie enough, but, like, I haven't really spent any time with him. Okay. Like, you know, we'll meet at something, and so we'll be together for an hour. But, like, Dave, you know, we hung out a lot together. So when I think, it's like, that's what I see of him, as opposed to, you know,
the actual
person. Yeah.
Okay.
Plus he does two different parts, so yeah, it's easier to remember one face than two animated faces.
And what is Saul and the Mole Man?
Oh, that's awesome. Saul and the Mole Man is a live action show on Adult Swim that I believe is now maybe in its sixth episode or something. But it's sort of like an homage / spoof of, like, you know, Land of the Lost. It's all green screen. It's about Saul Malone who goes to whose ship crashes in the center of the earth and finds a team of mole men there. And me and Gary Anthony Williams, who played like the dad of the kid in the wheelchair on Malcolm in the Middle, and he's on Boston Public now as the cross-dressing whatever. He and I were the two strata operators, like Mission Control, who now, I think at this point in the shows, we've already gotten onto a Chinese freighter with Chinese pirates, and we're taking the other drill ship to drill to the center of the earth to rescue Saul, but it's broke and it only drills up, so we have to go to Indochina to go up. And I also play a semi-nude Benjamin Franklin in one episode, which is frightening to say the least, yet oddly appropriate and tasteful.